April asked me to share in season and out of season. And that scripture verse is in the book of 2 Timothy 4:2, in season, out of season. It's mainly talking about preaching, like be ready to share the gospel. Most of our churches have the mantra of win the lost and build the saved. And I have done both in my life, but it seems like my life's focus now is on the latter, that I'm, you know, more involved with building those that are already as part of the kingdom. One of the scriptures that we're going to read here, the first one is in Genesis 8:22. It says that while earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, they shall not cease. And I actually taught a Bible study this last fall that was on To Everything There Is a Time. It was a Women of Faith 12-week that we just, you know, went through discussions. And just yesterday, my devotions, that was like the theme of the little daily bread devotion that I read often. But, you know, seasons are set by God, and they're going to continue as long as the earth endures. And we're talking like, you know, the summer season or, you know, just different things like that. Sometimes they seem that they're lasting longer than we'd like. And the groundhog can't change them. I mean, he may have a shadow or not have a shadow, but it doesn't actually determine when the spring season is coming. And God is faithful to keep his word, and I'm going to talk about his faithfulness. This scripture is not on your thing if you want to write it in. It is John 16:33. That's probably very familiar to most of you. In this life, we will have trouble, but since he's overcome the world, we can too with his help. I remember once we lived in town and we bought a place out in the country and had a long driveway to go put the mail out or check the mail. And I was walking down to do this, and I was like, Lord, you know, if you could just deal with this or this issue that I'm having. But he told me, well, if you did that, there's another one right behind it. You know? So, but he will help us with those troubles that we have. And then I want to read, it may not be in the order that they're on there, but I'm going to go through them on my hand-printed sheet. In the book of Revelations, both chapter 1:8 and 4:8, he is the one who is and was and is to come. And with that thought, it's like before our next moment, he's already there. You know, before we step into that next moment, that next thing that we're facing, pleasant or not, he is already there. And in Matthew 28 says, I am with you always. And Hebrews, and I think 13, 5 or 6, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So he's with us in each of these seasons, each of these moments that we face. And then I want to read the one that says in Psalm 62:8. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, trust in him at all times and pour out your heart to him. Like Brianna was talking, like, you know, that wrestling, it's like we have to be willing to expose ourselves to him. He knows it all anyway, but we're going to pour out our heart to him, just bring everything that we have before him. And then I want to go to Philippians 1:6. He, and someone quoted this one already, he who began a good work in you will complete it. We have to be, you know, patient in some of these seasons to see these things take place or move on from, you know, where we're at. But he is the one that began. He's the one that sought us. He's the one that started this relationship that we have. And he promises to finish that in us. John 6:68, where shall we go? You know, Jesus, some of the disciples were hearing hard things from Jesus. And he's like, will you leave too? And Peter, first to speak, says, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's no one else that we can turn to. And I'm going to stop, not read those other scriptures right there, because I want to talk to you about my seasons and his faithfulness. Okay. My husband and I met in Colorado Springs. We actually met before the church came down from Anchorage. They had sent a team, just like this church was sent here from Colorado. Dick Benjamin was an apostle, and he sent up churches throughout the upper northwest Alaska and then kind of worked its way across the country, around the world, different places that they started church. David and I had both gotten saved around the time. You know, I had to wait till I turned 18 to join the military. I got saved like a day before I actually left for the Army. And David got saved when he was in his Army training. And we both ended up at Fort Carson, Colorado, and our barracks, they back then still had men and women separate barracks. I don't know what it is today. But the chapel that we were close to is called Wrangler Chapel. And that's, it was just for convenience, that's the one we went to. It was a Protestant chapel. And we were attending things there. And then someone from the church in Colorado came to the base. It was called Rap with the Chap in the 70s at the Recreation Center. And they came and shared their vision of, you know, what they were doing in Colorado Springs. And both of us were excited about the idea of going out and sharing our faith. And also the contemporary worship and preaching right from the Bible. You know, David had a Methodist background, and so I had Catholic upbringing, Methodist when I was an adult. But we started spending more and more time with that. And I felt that the Lord told me that when I met David, this is like I said before, the Christian Center there, that he was the man that I was gonna marry. Some people went to the military because they were looking for a spouse. I was not. I was kind of a tomboy and just wanted to be in the Army. But we did date other people, you know, just kind of like, is this the right one? Is that the right one? And then eventually did get married. One of the chaplain's wife said, wouldn't you want to marry someone that you're friends with? And David and I were very good friends before we actually got married. A short engagement, but a two-year friendship. And they were 44 pretty good years that we had together. David passed away December of 2021. So he's been gone a little bit over 2 years. And I say that they were pretty good years because, like in every marriage, there's issues, things that happen, different things. This is, you know, some of you may know a little bit of my history and background. My husband had a couple periods of infidelity. And Dick Benjamin, the man that was the apostle, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, what should I do? I do have biblical grounds for divorce, but I didn't feel that that was the best choice in my situation. And Dick Benjamin said, if you can give grace, that's better. I was able to give him grace, and, you know, it was not only this, and I'm not going into any details, but he did have a worldly lifestyle for different periods throughout our marriage, and also some illegal activity. And there were a couple times that we lived apart, short periods. I think one was a couple weeks that I moved out, and another time earlier that I asked him to move out, and he was gone for about 6 months. He was a very faithful, hard worker, provider. He had his own painting business, and he was a good father. He was very involved with the boys. Well, he did make them work in the painting business, too, but so they are all very good and hard workers. And then near the end, our friendship, you know, grew close again, and his heart was with the Lord at the time that he was gone. And we became, like, close friends again. And that's part of my story, and I don't want to disparage his name, you know, besmirch it in any way, but this is just, you know, the things that I dealt with. This is part of my season, my marital season. Then on health, I had cancer, cervical cancer in 2005, and, you know, didn't do chemo, radiation, that kind of thing. And earlier in my life, we had had two miscarriages. They were actually during the times, both the times of this infidelity, you know, that type of thing. And I'm so, you know, it's like, Lord, well, you know, this one happened, so then if that one had full term, then the other one wouldn't. And they were not very far into the pregnancy. But then my youngest son wouldn't have been born because of, you know, that. So that's all, that was all in God's hands and timing. I look at it that way. I have had a couple of, they're called TIAs, like a mini stroke, but every time I go and get tested, it was like nothing there, but, but you know, yeah. Right. And, you know, fortunate for that, I'm getting a little creaky knees and, you know, different things, but overall, I've been pretty blessed with a healthy life. Another area of season in my life is financial. There are seasons of abasing and abounding. But we have always tithe. That was like something that just stuck from when we were young Christians. His business was slow at times. There was one time he was actually driving over to Newell, West Virginia, all the way through East Liverpool, working for $5 an hour for a different painter, just because he didn't have the clientele at that time. And we were keeping our bills paid. He did injure his knee. He was doing some Taekwondo, and you have to sign a paper saying you're responsible if you get injured, and he got injured. He ended up having it's not laparoscopic. He had a big old scar, so he didn't like wearing shorts. But in that year, he, on his crutches, went out behind the house, and he had this tree that kind of needed moved anyway, so he cut down that tree for the Christmas tree and had the boys help haul it into the house. And he was, you know, working on crutches, hanging wallpaper and different things. And at that point, we actually were on food stamps for a little while, and, you know, God uses different things to provide. But he also used David's father as a great provider in our lives. And the truth is, he probably never had gotten saved, although we had presented the gospel to him. And because of his financial astuteness, David received an inheritance, and now I am enjoying the blessing of that. It's not trusting in riches, because, you know, that can all disappear in a moment, but it is a blessing that I have, you know, some financial security in my life. I was able to sell the place that we had that was too big for me and bought a wonderful home only about 6 blocks from here. And it's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that provides all the blessings in all these times in our lives. And go over this one. I have had a season of, you know, with mental issues. I mean, it's not like I'm depressed or have these, but there was, you know, I had to deal with fear of repercussions from David's actions and his lifestyle. You know, there were times I was just like, well, if this happens and, you know, this is known, then this will happen. And just, you know, dealing with that, like not dwelling on the what ifs. And of course, extending forgiveness multiple times in multiple situations. And there were two occasions, I just remember two of them. You know, I worked on the job site sometimes with David. And there was one time that he needed me to go pick something up, bring it in the van. And I was thinking, man, I should just drive that van right into the pond. But that wouldn't really solve anything. And another one, we were on a job site at one of the local schools, and I was on a ladder probably 10 feet up. And I was like, well, if I just like make this ladder go. But that, again, would not, you know, cause anything to change in that situation. It was communicating. I will support the business by doing paperwork, but I don't want to be on the job site. You know, it's communication, but, you know, some of the frustrations and that. So, but overall in my life, this shirt says, today I choose joy.
Amen.
And that, you know, joy is something foundational in my life. And I want to go back to the notes here. And it is the one that says 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It was when Ziklag was burned. That's where David was based when he was running from his son Absalom. And it was raided by some other people. And women were carried off, and all the goods were carried off, and Ziklag was burned. And his own men were talking about stoning him. They were like, why'd you let this happen? And we lost everything. And it said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the last verse that I have, and then I'm going to share something on the second page there. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So my second thing here has some songs, and we did sing twice the goodness of God. That is a very prominent song in my repertoire right now. All my life, you've been faithful.
Yes.
In darkest night, you are with me. You are good. You are good. You are good. And it's funny because these next six songs was Ryan last month came back to our church and did the worship thing because we were going to have them there for a special honoring them and welcoming the new baby coming. And every single one of those verses, I mean, songs that he sang, the praise is yours. He's the God of every moment. Raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
Amen.
Here again, I can't control what tomorrow will bring. And then healer, you hold my every moment, and you are all I need. And it is well. The waves and winds still know his name.
Yeah.
I think at the time when the seven sons of Sheba, they're using Jesus' name by Paul and... No, but we have the authority, and the waves and wind, the troubles that we have, they still know his name.
Yes.
And he can make sure things are well in our lives. And in the song, Do It Again, you've never failed me yet. I have one more section here. I am in widowhood. My husband said that I married him for the entertainment value. He often told people that. He said my life would have been quite boring without him. And I said I married him so he could fix everything that I break. But just as I was thinking of this year when I, you know, when January rolled around, and one of the things the Lord told me, I don't know how many days I have on this planet, but it says finish well. I want to finish well. Yes. Continue doing the things I'm doing. You know, when you're retired, it's not so you just, you know, kick back and do nothing. It's like, you know, you have more resources, you have more time, you have more wisdom to give others. So we need to continue to serve, continue to love, and encourage one another. I'm going to proclaim his faithfulness.
Amen.
And I'm going to give of his resources as he leads, of my time, my money, my love. And I'm going to pray and pray and pray.